That's Bagatelle, Summer in Dublin, here on Kildare's KFM. It is Kildare Today with Ciarán Noble and Owen Beattie. Get in touch with us in the usual ways, 0833 97 97 97. You can also email studio at kfmradio.com or call us here in the studio on 045 901 490. Let's go to my next guest then. He's the editor of the Irish Field. Indeed, it is Leo Powell. Leo, good morning to you. Welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Owen. Thank you very much for having me on.
We're here to talk, obviously, Leo, about the investigation last night that was aired on BBC Panorama. The headlines in most of the newspapers this morning: horse racing industry calling for urgent meetings after the allegations in that investigation in relation to slaughterhouse injured horses transported over long distances for slaughter, the programme alleges. And most of these were told and were led to believe, Leo, that they were Irish trained. Over 4,000 horses were Irish trained here. What did you make of the documentary?
Yes, the documentary was very disappointing and very upsetting. Owen, obviously, the images that were shown were quite horrific and, very upsetting for anybody who's been raised with horses, raised with animals, and just for anybody watching it, it would have been very upsetting. Having said that, I was disappointed with the programme in that I felt that it had been sort of promoted as some sort of a major, sort of expose of the cruelty of Irish racing and British racing and the people involved in it. But the problem was it was a damnation of a particular abattoir in Swindon in England and the way they carry out their business. I mean, I'm sure prosecutions will have to follow from that, and there are authorities in England to look into that. But also, there were numbers mentioned. There were a lot of questions to be asked about it, and I'd love to be able to quiz the presenter, Clara McIntyre, about it, because there were a lot of things left sort of hanging, and there were mentions of most of them came from here, or and it was quite focused on Ireland, but there were, a lot of these horses, and maybe up to half of them were from, had originated in England as well. So there were questions to be asked, but I suppose the big thing that's coming from it is, again, a re-examination of our policies, how we handle horses from birth to death, and, I suppose imposing duty of care on people who own horses at any stage to make sure that their end-of-life situation is as good as it can be and as kind as it can be.
So just explain then to listeners, if you haven't seen the documentary, I'm sure you'd be able to get it on the player or catch up on it, but essentially it was called The Dark Side of Horse Racing, and it broadcast covert footage filmed inside one of the UK's biggest abattoirs, which it has claimed showed rules surrounding the slaughter of horses being breached. And there's also allegations that a lot of these horses were ex-race horses that were brought over to this abattoir and that they were then slaughtered. And Leo, I suppose the question really that's being asked is, what should be done for ex-race horses that, can no longer race? Because they're seen then really in the industry to have fulfilled their purpose. And I know that's very stark to say, but that's the way that they're viewed. They're bred to race in these big races. When they're finished and they can't do that anymore, they fulfill their purpose.
Yeah, and I think that would be a wrong image to paint of the industry, because for the vast majority, again, that isn't the case. And one thing I would say, Owen, as well, but I mean, I will have to go back and look at it again, because the program only aired, as you know, last night, and I didn't see it at the time. I had to watch it later on. But I think I counted about four or five purebreds that were filmed in that. A lot of those animals that were filmed were actually ponies and non-purebreds. It doesn't change the picture in terms of how they should be handled, and that it, what was happening in that abattoir was appalling. There was supposed to be there were vets there representing the Food Standards Authority in England. They didn't seem to be doing their job. That's how it appeared. The handling of the euthanasia was appalling and breached about every health and safety. But apart from all of that, be quite clear on this one, those pictures were horrific, and that is not how animals should be treated in any shape or form. In terms of the industry here, I mean, Horse Racing Ireland have established, with John Osborne at the head of it, a welfare group back in early 2020, and you know, there's a lot of work done in that area in terms of educating people. I mean, a lot of people will get into racing, buy a racehorse, but they don't actually think of the fact that at the end of its racing days, what is their duty of care to that animal? Now, in some cases, in the case of a lot of fillies, mares, when their racing career is over, they go to stud for breeding purposes. A lot of horses are rehomed. There's a lot of work done in that area. There's more being done, and different groups are set up to do it. You know, and horses go on to become leisure horses, people riding them, people caring for them. And a lot of people, you know, my late father, one of them as well, when horses got to a certain age and they were past their usefulness in the sense of either as breeding horses or as riding horses, they would simply be looked after for the rest of their lives. They would be cared for. They'd be given, you know, so I think that the images portrayed show that there's always a danger that these horses, you know, could end up in a bad place, and that has to be avoided. And it comes back to a big issue at the moment, I mean, one that is very central to everything that we're all doing, and that is the whole area of traceability of horses, that at any time we know where a horse is, who's responsible for it, and if a horse is being mistreated, abused, ignored, abandoned, that somebody is held accountable for it.
Well, the British Horse Racing Authority said it will hold urgent meetings, will also contact colleagues at Horse Racing Ireland after the programme. Now, HRI, of course, which are headquartered over on the Curragh, responded after the programme too, stating that Horse Racing Ireland unreservedly condemns the practices shown in the images from the Swindon UK abattoir portrayed in this evening's BBC documentary Panorama. HRI supports calls for an investigation by the relevant UK authority into this abattoir. This footage showed both animal and human health issues and is not reflective of the care that racehorses receive in the horse racing industry throughout their lives. And Leo, that kind of ties in with what you were saying, that it does run the risk. And let's be very clear about this. We absolutely condemn the images that we saw last night.
Absolutely.
And some of the things that were carried out. However, not everybody in the horse racing industry is like that, and it would be a minority really, and it runs the risk of everybody being tarred with the same brush.
Absolutely, and that's what, you know, and you know, the fact of the matter is, it, you know, it doesn't lessen the need for, you know, the tightening of regulations in any shape or form that prevents this from happening. You know, I mean, unfortunately, Owen, there's always, I mean, we've reported in our paper over different periods of time in the last couple of years. I mean, because of the value of horse meat for human consumption, and that's becoming less and less a case in the thoroughbred world because passports get stamped to say horses are not suitable for that purpose if they've been given certain drugs. So people can decide up to, at an early stage in their life, to say that they don't ever want them to find their way into the human food chain. So, I mean, those options are there. But, you know, unfortunately, as in all walks of life, you know, there's a criminal element that will try to get around this. As we saw last night on the programme, a horse that unfortunately suffered a career-ending and life-ending injury racing a clearing house, suddenly the microchip on that horse turns up 5 years later in this place in Swindon. You know, and all, I mean, one thing I could say about this, and it, you know, people might have expected that, you know, the racing industry and people in it would be, you know, sort of out you know, sort of defending and being very, you know, defensive in their response to this. We don't have to be. We have very, very good practices in place. Listen, nothing is ever absolutely perfect, and there are always things that you can do to tighten those controls, and we need to make sure that we do that. But, you know, again, you can't. How do we control that criminal element aspect of it? And, you know, I would join absolutely. My first reaction last night was absolutely, I was, you know, with fear and trepidation sitting down to watch it to see what I was going to hear or whatever. And, you know, the fact of the matter was what we saw was a badly run, you know, malpractices happening at one particular place in England over a period of time. And, you know, that just has to be stamped out. I hope that, you know, all I can say is I hope they're out of business ASAP. But it is not reflective. And, you know, I think that unfortunately the nature of the programme was a little bit. I would have to say there was a certain element of. A little bit of anti-Irishism about it, because it kept talking about Irish horses and Irish this and Irish that, but actually, you know, a lot of those horses, and maybe, you know, I don't know the numbers, but they, you know, huge number of those were coming from English yards, English places, and, you know, they weren't, some of these horses had, yes, that part of their life had been in Ireland, but subsequent to their moving on somewhere else, they found their way to England. And I see some of the reports today talking about the hardest part of it was the fact that horses had travelled 360 miles. No, the hardest part of it was to see these horses being mistreated in a slaughterhouse in Swindon in England. That's the fact.
Well, the horse racing industry are calling for urgent meetings after that Panorama documentary yesterday on BBC. And as I say, if you haven't seen it, you can check it out, I'm sure, on Catch Up. But reacting to it and giving his view, Leo Powell, editor of the Irish Field. Thanks for joining us on the programme this morning, Leo, and a very good morning to you. Coming up after the break, we will be going to the Athy Municipal District. All right, a couple of messages coming into us then. Many race horses are slaughtered because they are considered not good enough to race. Far too much breeding in the industry, says Mag. While another one here, Owen, I was so upset and angry after watching the Panorama programme last night. Both myself and my husband and members of both our families are keen race goers in Ireland and the UK. We've now questioned whether we should continue to support racing. It's an honour to own or be involved with these beautiful animals, and this treatment of them should not and cannot be tolerated, says Karen and Kieran Burke. And again, it kind of ties in with what we were saying there with Leo Powell from the Irish Field, that it runs the risk of everybody in the industry being tarred with the one brush. And look, absolutely, what was on that programme last night was unacceptable. It was shocking for a lot of people. But you have to remember, there are some great people in horse racing. The majority of people in horse racing are brilliant. The organisations, the trainers, the owners and everything do everything as they should by the book. But like with everything, there's always a small minority that will mistreat people and animals as well. Keep your messages coming into us though, but for the moment, let's go to Ciara Noble once again. Ciara.
Yeah, and it's congratulations to our next guest in the new Las Cathaoirleach of Athy Municipal District, Councillor Brian Dooley. Good morning.
Good morning, Ciara. How are you? And I'm speaking to you from a very sunny, lovely Tremor this morning. So
I can lovely rub it in, cause. Brian.
Yeah.
We're so happy for you. You get double the good news, Las Cathaoirleach, and now you're
absolutely
on your holidays.
Yeah, no, listen, delighted. And I just want to say that yesterday was our AGM, and just to thank the outgoing Cathaoirleach as well, Aoife Breslin. She put in a huge year, a really difficult year, the last 12 months for everyone, but in particular, she kept the show on the road, put her shoulder to the wheel, and really, she put in a massive effort as Cathaoirleach, and just also to welcome in our new Cathaoirleach, Councillor Ivan Keatley. So a really, really important year for the Athy Municipal District. The next 36 months are going to be really important.
Yeah, no doubt, and we'll be speaking to the new Cathaoirleach a little later. But Brian, we're going to start with you this morning, and one of the questions you asked the council was that the committee or the council invites CADOC to attend a meeting of the Athy MD. Why is this, Brian?
Yeah, I suppose in recent weeks, and I've been receiving a lot of representation just from people who are asking about the KDOC, the service itself. Ciara, we have a fantastic new facility in Atoy, the primary care centre, and I suppose what we were looking for to see was, would KDOC envisage using that facility after 6 o'clock in the evening? Would instead of looking for people to travel distance from a time, maybe to Nace or Newbridge or wherever they're going to be based, but to use the facility there, because it is it's a facility that costs in the region of 12 million to build, and after 6 o'clock in the evening it's not been used. And KDOC is an excellent service, but there are a few things outstanding. For instance, in my own personal situation is where we had a person who took a fall recently, and having made the call to KDOC, it was nearly 2.5-3 hours before we got the call back on what to do and to go over and get the appointment. So there's just a few questions that the members have for KDOC. And just to bring some of the information that we're gathering from constituents to KDOC themselves, to see if we can improve the service even more and also start to utilise that centre in Athy.
Sorry, Brian, my mic was down there. You also asked the council, could they provide an update on the plans for the housing project for the Dominican lands in Athy? Just tell us a little bit more about the project that's happening.
Yeah, the CLUID project, I suppose, listen, the council back in 2018, they bought the Dominican lands, and there's a field at the back of the Dominican lands. And what's envisaged there is that CLUID, which is a housing agency, they are going to go in and build approximately 30 units there. But the units would be for older people. I suppose what you'll see here is, in a lot of local area plans at the moment, what councils are trying to do is they're trying to put these kind of units for elderly, more senior citizens into town centres so that they're closer to services. So at the moment, CLUID are looking to develop these 30 units for older persons, along with Kildare County Council. So there's a capital assistance scheme stage 2 application for expenditure approval. That's what's happening at the moment, and as soon as that approval process commences, we'll be approved for stage 2, which will be your planning and your design. And I think if you Google the likes of CLUID Housing, you'll see some of the projects that they're involved in nationally, and they're a really, really, really good approved housing body. And the work to do, they're actually an award-winning housing body. The work to do is really, 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 it's incredibly, incredibly good. And I think it's something that it's very much desired in a site, and in particular in that area where we have the library and all of the services in the town centre.
Yes, and we have been speaking to CLUID a few times here on the show before, Brian. You also asked the council to investigate the widening of the bridge at Cloney in Athy to accommodate the travel, obviously, on both sides of the road, because currently it is very narrow.
It is very narrow, and again, anyone that lives Kilberry, out to Cloney, if you're from the area, you know what you're coming into. You're slowing down, but if people are travelling on that road and they're not aware of how narrow the bridge is, they may not slow down. I've been travelling that road an awful lot more now, and I've just found over time it can be particularly dangerous if you meet, maybe for instance, a HGV or a car maybe that's travelling at speed. So unfortunately the answer I got wasn't the one I wanted, because due to just limited resources they're not going to be able to facilitate it at this time. They're not, because it would include road realignment, land acquisition would be very expensive. I'm going to continue to push for it to be added to the list of bridges that are currently getting worked on in Kildare, but I suppose one thing that they did come back with, which is positive, Ciara, is that consideration will be given to warning signage at the location, so extra warning signage, just to slow people down. As I say, residents of the area know what it's like, but just for people who may not be aware. But listen, I'm going to keep continuing to put pressure on for that bridge to be added so that these remedial works can be carried out.
Okay, and Brian, just to finish, bins in the People's Park, as we know, the weather has been amazing. You're down in Tramore, people are outside more, and obviously eating, etc. And there is litter in the area, and you're asking about how many bins are in the People's Park and how often they are emptied. What did the council tell you?
Yeah, no, listen, there's 5 bins in the People's Park. There was actually 6 or 7. Several were removed due to damage, Ciara. They're empty twice a week, and I suppose just really for the community actually that live close to the park, and I'd like to just give a shout out to them. A lot of the residents close would walk around the park in the morning and pick up litter that has been discarded around the place. They look after the park. So I think just what we're looking for is for people to be more cognizant, go and enjoy the picnic in the park or sit out having the ice cream, whatever the case may be. But if you bring something in, litter, whatever the case, if there's no bin there, if the bin is full, bring it home with you. And as they're all saying now, I think that the hashtag is leave no trace. We have a wonderful people's park, so we want to make sure that everyone enjoys it in the same way. But at the moment, bins there are being emptied twice a week.
Well, great advice from the new Lascaghaerlock of Athy Municipal District, Councillor Brian Dooley of Fianna Fáil. Thank you for joining me.
Cheers, Ciara. Thank you. God bless.
Yeah, and we'll be talking to the Cathaoirleach, newly elected Cathaoirleach, Councillor Ivan Keatley, before 11 o'clock this morning. Now, just to let you know, the Kildare County Council has granted planning permission for a new development at Milltown GAA Club. This news was announced over the last few days, and to join me to discuss this is Noel Dunn. He's the chairperson of Milltown GAA. Good morning to you, Noel.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
Not too bad. Listen, I'm sure everybody involved with Milltown GAA was delighted when you got the news that Kildare County Council had granted the permission.
Yes, absolutely. Well, last year we developed two new pitches, and this is a process that's been going on since, 2014. We moved into where we are in 1984. And then we were pitches. Well, obviously, we needed more land, and bit of land came up next door. So we bought off local farmers next door, and we developed two pitches last year. So they're developed part of the development. And of course, like everyone else, we're being held up with COVID. It's a curse for everyone, you know. Mm. And financially, it's been held up. But hopefully, we get sports capital grants now to help us with flood lighting and that. But it was great news to get the planning permission.
So just talk to us then, Noel, about what the development will entail. What's going to be installed at Milltown GAA?
Well, it's going to be a new set of lights put in, because we got new pitches developed last year. We bought a piece of land, and it was a huge work. We got a crowd from Wicklow, Brian Darcy and Dar Golf, and they developed the two lovely pitches for us now. And I mean, they're absolutely like snooker tables. But we need to put lighting all around it. Now, we have a walking track around it, and we also need to have to put some hedging around it, which is going to be, a local woman is going to do a survey about what's going to be environmentally friendly for bees and birds and all that kind of business. So we're not just going to put any kind of hedging there. It's going to be, but the lighting is the main thing now. That's what we're waiting on, capital sports grant. And just that, I'd just like to say it on behalf of the football club, the amount of people that has put their hands in their pockets, local people. I mean, the development all told has cost us, I suppose, in the region of $500,000, you know. So the local people have put their hands in their pockets, local businesses have put their hands in their pockets, and also we got grants like from the Leinster Council and the Sports Capital Grant, and where Martin Hayden was a great help to us in that score.
And as you say, this has been going on for a number of years now, because developments like this don't just happen overnight. It's a long process, and there was a committee involved at the GAA club as well, which set the ball rolling. And the local community, as you say, have been very, very supportive. But when I'm sure when you moved into that ground, what did you say it was, 1984?
1984, yes, we moved in there, and because obviously we're catering for 28 teams now. Like, I mean, it's a big, you know, since that time, there's only a couple of teams. Like, there's an underage, like from under six all the way up, like boys and girls all the way up, and
yeah,
we've hurling involved in the club as well now, you know. So,
That's what I was going to say, Noel, because, you know, like Salins, where I'm from as well, it was a small village, but it's starting to grow now, Milltown, and it's reflected really in the GAA club with the amount of underage teams you have.
Well, exactly, yes. And I think, I suppose, like everything, too, prior to this, we had matches on, and there'd be training on, so you had to cancel training so people couldn't train, because the matches obviously take priority. Now, like, we have the facilities there and people are training, and people are amazed, the amount of people that can be there, maybe it was Saturday morning. But so it just shows you, if you have the facilities, you'll have the people as well, you know.
And just finally then, Noel, do you have a time frame when the new development will be built, or when work will commence on it?
Well, at the moment we have the two, the pitches are playable, you know. They're because we were blessed last year when the lads came in to develop it. We were blessed; we got a fine spell and they got a good run ahead to do the work. And then the pitches came on, you know. They're spot on at the moment. But it's just the lighting now. I mean, we'll have to wait on capital sports grants because everyone's after taking a hit now in the last while for like fundraising. Like, we've had fundraising over the years, but it's hard. Obviously, you can't fundraise with COVID going on, and you know we. But I've no doubt that the people are rowing behind us again. We have, like, we're financially we're in a good position, you know. But it's just that we're not heavily indebted or anything like that. We're not
Yeah.
But that's thanks to the local people, you know, who time and time again have helped us out, you know, and will again in the future, I know.
Yeah, it's definitely a good news story for Milltown GAA.
Absolutely.
Getting that planning permission for the new development at the club. So there's going to be 6 18-metre-high training lights and poles for the main senior training pitch. There'll also be 3 extra light clusters to illuminate the pitches, and there's the walking track around the area as well.
Exactly.
And it's being built on 2.4 hectares. That's the total area which the developments would be built. Listen, Noel Dunn, chairperson of Milltown GAA, great to talk to you, and regards to everyone out there in the club.
Thanks, Noel.
And very good morning to you. Yeah, good news for a local GAA club as well. Some great people out in the club also. Now, just before we take a break, I want to play another little piece of audio, because last week, I think it was last Thursday or Friday, myself and Clem, we did a little piece on the moon, the lunar takeoff. Was the 16th of July, where Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin headed off to the moon. Well, on the 20th, 4 days later, they became the first humans to ever land on the moon, and about 6.5 hours later, Armstrong became the first person to walk on the moon. And as he took his first step, he of course famously said, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." It was of course the Apollo 11 mission, landing on the moon on this day in 1969. Let's just have a little listen to this.
Okay, flight controllers, gonna go for landing. Retro,
go.
Righto,
go.
Guide, go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
GNC,
go.
Ecom,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
Altitude 4200.
You think you're a go for landing, over.
Roger, understand. Go for landing, 3,000 feet.
There are certain events in life that you never forget, and the lunar landing, and in particular the last seconds leading up to the landing, will never be forgotten. We had battled to get to the surface. We're halfway to our abort limit. About the time we got that sorted out, we started having a series of computer program alarms.
1201.
Roger, 1201
alarm. 1201
alarm.
Set type, we're go flight.
Okay, we're go.
And as the crew took over at about 2 minutes prior to landing, searching for a landing site, we knew that they were going to be using a lot more fuel than we had expected.
540
feet
and a 15.
They keep doing this, they're going to run out of fuel.
Altitude, velocity, light. Down.
Didn't really have a good hard feeling about just how far they were from actually landing, you know. They kept going and going and going, you know. And
what were our chances of landing successfully? Getting outside, that was pretty easy to do. It was touching down so that later missions could touch down and then do the rest of the stuff. But the landing with 15 seconds of fuel remaining, that was the important thing.
Four forward, drift into the right level.
30 seconds.
Forward, drift. Contact light. Okay, engine stop.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
It was like, gee whiz.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Okay, keep the chatter down in this room.
The unfortunate thing is no controller had an opportunity to absorb the emotion of that landing, because we had to work for the next 2 hours, nonstop.
Okay, T1, stay, no stay. Retro,
stay.
Vital,
stay.
Guidance,
stay.
Control,
stay.
Telcom,
stay.
GNC,
stay.
Ecom,
stay.
Surgeon,
stay.
Capcom, we're stay for T1.
And we're getting a picture on the TV.
Okay. You got a good picture, huh?
Up until that moment, television had always been a goal, but not a requirement.
The lamb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches.
Once we landed safely, the only thing that counted was for us to see the picture.
I'm going to step off the lamb now.
What I felt at that moment was, the TV better work or else. And if it doesn't, they really will know who I am, because I'll be the man who didn't bring you television from the moon.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah, it's a huge day in our history right across the world. On this day, 1969, the Apollo 11 landed on the moon, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. And it's just incredible listening to that audio. It was on the NASA's YouTube page. You can have a listen to more audio on there. But just to see what was going on behind the scenes and how calm they were. Like, you're landing on the moon, lads. But they're just nice and calm, nice and relaxed. Yeah, we'll just take it easy as we get off here.
Now, the National Tidies Towns competition is back this year after being cancelled in 2020 for what other reason but COVID-19. It was the first time in 60 years. And joining me to discuss, I guess, the event coming up is Johnny Doyle, former Kildare footballer and official ambassador with Kildare Tidy Towns Network. Good morning.
Good morning, Ciara. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, it was 60 years, and then, of course, 2020 came and Tidy Towns was cancelled.
Yeah, absolutely, and a long tradition, I suppose, of Tidy Towns all over the country, and particularly in Kildare, and, you know, the amount of thousands of volunteers all over the country was left wondering what was going to become or when we were going to be out of this pandemic. But thankfully, Ciara, it's back for 2021, and, you know, the length and breadth of the county, people are out, volunteers are out and getting ready for it, and looking forward to it. And I suppose in a time when, you know, when we were in lockdown and we were to stay within 5 kilometres, I think all of us maybe appreciated our own area and the value of our own area, and probably have continued, you know, with restrictions have lifted, continue to enjoy the flora and fauna of our area, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, I think, you know, when we needed it, it was there, and I think the thing we're trying to encourage is people to maybe to get involved in some little way, and that can be when you do go for a walk to bring the plastic bag with you to pick up a bit of rubbish, or, you know, you might be an expert in IT and say, you know what, maybe I could give a few hours every month to help my local community, and that's what really the volunteers all over Kildare, because Kildare has a huge tradition of the Tidy Town, and it is growing from strength to strength. I know, even, you know, over the last number of years in my own area, small little villages like Kilmeek have done huge work, and in Alan Wood, I know Brendan Wise and Martine O'Neill have done phenomenal work to try to get people, and they're just to name a few people in small communities that are doing huge work, and as I say, we've been very successful over the last number of years as well.
Yeah.
Albeit we're still trying to land the big one, the same as we are on the
yeah,
TV.
Yeah, Kildare seems to be doing that from a few different aspects, aren't we?
Absolutely, we really are.
But Johnny, obviously this virus is still with us, and the competition will be slightly tweaked for people who, you know, are still a bit wary. There's going to be safety, obviously, in place for both the participants and the judges. The organisers are going to be adhering to the public health guidelines. But just to go through what local people can do in their area, and you mentioned things like going out for the walk. Obviously, that can be completely isolating. You don't have to be near anybody else and pick up the rubbish with the old plastic bag. But what else? How else can people actually get involved with Tidy Towns?
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, there's numerous ways. And, you know, I know from GAA, the GAA community, people are maybe, they're reluctant to get involved because they feel that, God, I can't afford to make a full commitment. And they're worried that, you know, if they want to get involved, they're going to have to put a huge amount of time. And that's not what it is. It you know, there is members of our community there that are putting in massive hours. You know, particularly maybe people that are retired, that have maybe a bit more time to give. But there's no area that you can, you know, it can be a professional area like you know, maybe architecture or something like that, where you could lend your expertise to help maybe a project. And within the council, there's a huge amount of projects ongoing. You know, when you look at the Market Square in Kildare Town, what they've rejuvenated that, and there's a lot of experts needed. And then volunteers are in every community. I know there's plans for the square in Rattangan and things like that. Milltown have done a huge amount of work, and every morning I go through Milltown to heading to work, I see Jack Dunn out, and he's just doing phenomenal work there. But, you know, they've got the help of local landscapers, and you know, just to give something back to their own community and make such a difference. when you do drive through these communities, and particularly now when the sun is shining, you see the beauty of our county, and a county we should be really, really proud of. So we have such a diverse county as well here. You have the urban centres who have done massive work. Big towns like Leixlip and Naas and Newbridge that have done huge work, and the amount of effort that's needed to try and maintain those towns and even small villages is huge. But to continue that and just make yourself known and say, you know what, I want to be part of something maybe a little bit bigger than just my own household, and that could be, as I say, it could be an hour a month that you give to help that community, and I think we all benefit from it.
And just to go through some of the towns that won in 2019, so the recipients of gold was Maynooth, Leixlip, Naas, Strachan; silver, Selbridge, Kill, Newbridge; bronze, Ballymore, Eustace, Clane, Rathangan. Come on, Newbridge, let's get gold this year. But aside from that, Johnny, you mentioned it there briefly, Kildare and Dublin going to be playing in about a week and a half now. How do you think things will go come 2 weeks' time in Croke Park?
Oh, look, it's going to be a tough one, there's no doubt about it. Particularly we picked up a couple of injuries at the weekend. You're hoping against hope that Kevin Feely and Owen Dyle will be able to shake off those injuries. 2 weeks is not a long time for the lads. But look, I think we have to go with hope. We have to maybe throw off the shackles and see where it takes us. And I think that's what me did in the second half would probably give Kildare a lot of hope, where they decided, you know what, rather than they were in a big enough position at half time, and they said, decided, listen, we're not going to buy into the script that Dublin are going to beat us by 20 points, we're going to have a right good cut at them, and they brought it back and were very, very competitive in the second half and put Dublin under pressure. And I think that's what I would be, if I was Jack O'Connor, I'd be saying, listen, and he did reference it in after the game on Sunday, that they're not coming up to make up numbers. And I think from the talent that we have and the success we've had at underage, that we've competed and beaten Dublin at several occasions, so I don't see why we can't have a right good cup. Maybe it might be a hurdle too much for this Kildare team with where Dublin are at, but I certainly would like to leave a dent and say, listen, Dublin, we're coming for you.
I like it. Right, we're gonna take you. Dublin, we're coming for you. Johnny Doyle, thank you so much.
Kira, thanks very much for having me on.
Take care, and we'll speak to you obviously at Croke Park in a week and a half.
Yeah, I'm sure Johnny will be on commentary duty with Ger and Peter up in Croke Park for that Leinster final. But of course, he's also an official ambassador for the Kildare Tidy Towns, urging people to get involved in their local communities. And I have to say, the Tidy Towns really are the pillar of so many local communities, and they do great work. And we'll be hoping to see Salins up there in the gold, silver or bronze medal award this year. Kira will be shouting on for Newbridge. Johnny Doyle, of course, will be doing a bit of work there with Alan Wood. And my next guest, Ivan Keatley, I'd say, will be hoping that the south of the county place somewhere in those Tidy Towns competitions as well. Ivan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Owen. Thanks for having me on.
Fine Gael councillor on the Athy MD and the new Cathaoirleach as well of the municipal district. First of all, congratulations, Ivan. I suppose, what is your mission statement going forward as the new Cathaoirleach?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's apt listening to Johnny there and listening to Noel from Milltown GAA before him. And I said it yesterday at our meeting, and I'd reiterate today, really, for me, the next 12 months is about reconnecting communities, I suppose, reconnecting them to one another through that voluntary network that Johnny is talking about. And, Tidy Towns are a huge part of that. But, our sports clubs, our residents' associations, we around the south of the county, we have a couple of really exciting new projects, one in Narramore there, the old hardware, one in Moon, the Piers Cafe. We have a fantastic voluntary charity shop down in Castle Dermot, run by the Tidy Towns. Only a really small example alone of the huge voluntary effort that's going around the south of the county. And I really do think that it's, as we have been doing over the last 12 months in particular, since our various lockdowns, it's to try and support that network, whether it's the local GAA club or the rugby club or the soccer club or that Tidy Towns. There are numerous ways, and I think yesterday was a very good example. We had we adopted our sports grant for 2001 or 2021, should I say, in which a lot of the sports clubs around the south of the county are going to receive their grants in the coming weeks through our local property tax fund, which is going to help them get up and running again and provide that huge support for the communities that they do every year.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well said. Okay, Ivan, the meeting of the Athai MD took place on Friday, and to run through some of the motions that you brought forward, you want the council to commence the parking review for Castle Dermot and to seek to provide extra car parking for the Fair Green and the newly opened playground.
Yeah, I suppose we looked at us commencing this review a couple of years ago on, and at the time it was decided because the Castle Dermot playground had just received its planning permission and was about to go under construction, that had to be the priority, and that we weren't sure where the parking needs were going to be on that side of the town. And since the opening, it's become very, very apparent that there's huge pressure around the town of Castle Dermot now for parking around the Fair Green. It's a very, very popular walking route around that side of the town, and parking is under pressure. So I wasn't overly happy with the answer the council came back. They didn't commit to a time and a date. So I've asked the senior engineer, David Reel, if he would go back to the parking section of the council and try and firm up a date. Otherwise, we'd have to go back and look at interim and temporary measures. I do know that the community centre in Castle Dermot are doing a great job, and they are providing parking at the moment and encouraging people to use the car park there. So a shout out to people in Castle Dermot, and I know people from all around the south of the county, and even as far as Carlow, are coming up to that fantastic new facility. It really is a super playground. I had my own children in it just after it opened a number of months ago, and it's proving really popular.
Yeah, I saw photographs of it on social media. It looks like an absolutely lovely playground as well. I haven't had a chance to go down to it, but it is getting great reports as well into us here on the programme. You're asking the council to provide a report on older persons, disabled persons and mobility aid grants, and also to outline the number received and the number paid to date in the Athai MD.
Yeah, well, I suppose I had a couple of reasons for putting down this motion at our meeting yesterday, Owen, and the primary reason, I suppose, was to make sure that we in the south of the county are getting our fair slice of the pie when it comes to these grants, the really, really important grants. And the second reason was that because of the COVID restrictions, as we were told yesterday by our Director of Housing and our Area Manager, Ned Aspel, there are backlogs and delays in getting these applications processed. And I suppose for this time of the year in particular, I refer to the Older Persons Grant, which is a really, really important grant that a lot of older people use to upgrade heating systems and fix leaks in roofs, etc. Really, really important work, and it's just important to let people know you will be waiting a number of months. There are, as the report says, a number of priorities given, but that is more to do with the Housing Adaption Grant. So people with serious illness can be prioritised, but it's really hard to get the older people's grants prioritised. And I know I've been dealing with some constituents for well over a year now for different reasons, for forms not being filled out right and going back and forth. And it can take a really long time for people even to get contractors on. As you can imagine, these days, it's really hard to get them to do the work. So by the time you have all your ducks in a row, it can take a long time, but I suppose the important point here is to realise that, you know, Kildare County Council is administering over 400 of these grants to the Athai Municipal District every year, and it's important that that doesn't become a negative story. We're receiving over 3.5 million nationally, and as I said, Athai and the south of the county is getting its fair share, which is important. But you know, older people out there, if you need one of these grants, please contact myself or one of the other councillors, and we can get those applications in as quickly as possible.
Okay, finally and briefly, if you would, Ivan, is there an issue with the hedging at the Hartlow Cross in Calverstown?
Yes, an annual and indeed a perennial problem. It's one of these junctions that's really, really dangerous on the Athai to Cullen Road as you turn off of Calverstown. Thankfully, since I put the motion down, the job has actually been completed.
Okay.
But it's obviously pressures are on the hedge cutting services there in the council, but thankfully this one has been done for the time being, but we keep an eye on it going forward.
Good stuff. That is Fine Gael, councillor on the Athai Municipal District and indeed the new Cathaoirleach for the next year, Ivan Keatley. Thanks for joining us, Ivan, and congratulations once again.
Thanks a million, Owen.